Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and I just want to say thank you for hanging out and checking me out today right here on Life Remixed Radio. Today is Thursday, October 16th, and I have an absolutely wonderful show for you today. We're going to talk about time and faith and God and energy and just a whole bunch of stuff in our weekly Bible study. So I think that's going to be a really good good opportunity for us to continue to learn and grow based on what we talk about, what we've talked about in the past. I don't want to necessarily say it's a part one, part two, part three, part four, because I don't feel that that's necessarily the case. I kind of feel like we're all learning and growing together, and I just feel like even as it, the irony as it relates to time, that the more we put it as this is part one of or this is a series, I think we immediately limit ourselves to where we can possibly go because we are giving it a sense of time. And that's definitely part of what DeJuan and I were talking about a little bit behind the scenes before we logged on to the show today. So I'm really happy. I'm excited that everyone is joining us. And that's what it is.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. Switch 1-5-3. The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. Switch 1-5-3.
Right now, I just don't want to delay things. We're going to bring DeJuan right in. DeJuan, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's good to have you here. We know it's Thursday when we hear your voice. And we know you're not locked into Thursdays, but it's just kind of like a little bit of a welcome to hear your voice with us on Thursday mornings. Just to jump right into this, as I said at the top of the show, I really want to kind of get into a little bit of the time and the church and kind of share with my listeners some of the things that you and I were discussing behind the scenes. So what I'm going to do is just give you the floor, and then you know me, my questions, I'm just going to jump on in whenever there's something I don't get. Is that cool with you?
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. First of all, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. I want to thank your listening audience and everybody across the digital universe for tuning in, locking in, and checking out Life Remix Radio. There's so many different things. I guess we can kind of sum up where we were last week in regards to talking about the origins of church and where that came from, because that way you get an idea of why we are at the place where we are right now. Ever since the printing press was invented and the Bible was able to be printed out, there's always been this war of control of actually, you know, institutions trying to control the gospel message and how that disseminates out to the people. The person that translated the Bible into English was William Tyndale. He was actually burned and crucified, well, not crucified, but burned at the stake because of some things that he didn't want to put in the Bible that the institutionalized church wanted to force him to put in the Bible that he clearly saw it was not in the original scriptures he didn't want to put in there. But, you know, that's where this whole thing kind of started to where we are now, where you have so many different translations of the Bible and interpretations, and on top of that, you have so many different remixes of people coming up with all these incredible interpretations of scriptures and taking scriptures out of context and coming up with their own version of the Bible and their own gospel message. But what we have to be able to do is be able to get back to the original construct of what God wanted, which we stated. Once Jesus Christ died on the cross and raised from the dead, once we move from the old Mosaic covenant that they had out in the desert, the children of Israel and the 12 tribes, where they gathered around a tabernacle, once we move from that to the cross, God in Acts 7:48 said he no longer dwelled in temples made with hands, but the body, the people, are now the temple. According to 2 Peter, that the people are a royal priesthood, a nation, that this is what Christ, God, is the big picture plan was to bring his people back to him in a more perfect state, without all the extraneous trappings of religious organizations and institutions. So a lot of people have the question, okay, well, what does that look like? You know, what is that relationship with God? What is that truth? I mean, how do you do it? Once you understand that, hey, I go to a local congregation, a local church, and I don't agree with everything they say. The reality is, at the end of the day, the only thing that didn't change in the new covenant that we have is the lifestyle. I mean, that lifestyle was predicated based on the lifestyle of a priest. In the old, because in the new covenant, he says we're all priests, we're all kings and priests. So when he says that we're priests, that tells me that the role, that the lifestyle of a priest hasn't changed. Just the roles may have changed. Like in the old covenant, you know, the priest had to take all the sacrificial offerings of the people. They had to take all the animals, blood of bulls and goats and pigeons and all these things, lay them on the altar and sacrifice them so that people can have atonement for sins. Well, obviously we don't do that anymore now because Christ did that, paid the price at the cross. So now, yet God says, you know, we're still priests. So what does that mean? To me, when you have to look at the pattern, it means that the lifestyle pattern doesn't change. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the priest had to carry themselves a certain way. You know, the way the tabernacle was laid out, they had to go into, there was only one way you could get into the tabernacle. It had a fence all the way around it. There was only one entrance, and that entrance was facing the tribe of Judah. Well, we know Christ came from the tribe of Judah, and he is that one way. He's the only way you can get to God. So that pattern still exists. So we still have to, if you want to know how do you continue to have a relationship with God and build on it, the pattern, you can look at the Bible and see certain patterns that are still applicable today. So just like when you look at the tabernacle and it had one entrance, to get to God, we still have to go through that one entrance, which is Christ, who says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And once you get inside the tabernacle, they had something called the brazen altar, which I talked about, where they did all the sacrifices and things of that nature for the people. Well, we know we don't have to do that now, but still, God, as a Christian, you have to daily sacrifice yourself, your flesh. You have to, you know, deny yourself of certain pleasures or certain things you want to do or used to do or thought about doing or could do or should do and wish you could do if nobody was looking, but you have to be able to sacrifice those things. So in the same manner, in the old covenant, that the priest had to go and do sacrifices at the brazen altar, we as priests in the new covenant in Christ, we have to do our own personal sacrifice in our daily walk with God. And then from there, once the priest did all that, they would go to a thing called the brazen laver. It was a gold laver filled with water, and they would immerse themselves in the water, and they would wash themselves of all the blood and sacrifice before they would actually go into like a tent or inner sanctuary, the tabernacle part. And see, what does that represent for us in this the lifestyle that we live today? Well, you know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we have to wash ourselves daily in the renewing of the word. So daily, the same way the priest had to come in and go in and get to the brazen laver and wash themselves, we have to be able to constantly, you know, wash ourselves of the things of this world, the words of this world, you know, the sins that we still do. We have to constantly keep ourselves cleansed from that because God is a holy God. And yet, even though Christ died and redeemed us and brought us in, we still have to do our part because faith without works is dead. So we have to have, we have to do what we're supposed to do. We have to do the right things. So that means you have to keep the proper the lifestyle going forward. So as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with the blood to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Well, that's what he's saying. He's making, in Hebrews, is the New Testament, the New Covenant, but yet and still they're making a reference back to the Old Covenant, showing a pattern there, showing, highlighting a lifestyle that we have to continue to be able to do in order to stay in relationship and fellowship with God. Now, once the priest did that, they would go into what's called, you know, the holy place. It's like a tent within the tent of the tabernacle. They would go in there, and only priests could go in there. And the first thing they would come up to see, they would see the golden candlestick. It looked like a, maybe you're familiar with a menorah.
Yeah, it looked for the, for like Hanukkah, right?
Yeah. Well, what they had with this menorah, it was six stems on each, three on each side, with one in the middle and three on the other side. And every day, the priest would have to go in there and make sure that oil in there was renewed every day, because that's the only light that you would see, that you could use in there. Otherwise, if they didn't go in there and keep the oil renewed, you couldn't see anything else in there. You couldn't move around. So as Christ says in the New Testament, that he is the light of the world and he is the light in men, and that we should be the light, then that is a pattern and a type to back to where their lifestyle is, because every day they had to put in olive oil into the menorah to keep it burning. Not just any olive oil, but it was beaten olive oil, which is a difference between crushed olive oil, because we know in the New Testament we're supposed to endure trials and tribulations, but he won't put more on us than we can bear. So therefore, that's the same thing when they didn't use crushed olive oil, because God's not going to put nothing on you that's going to crush you. But they would use beaten olive oil to put in there so that you know you're going to go through some certain things, but you're still going to be able to endure. Once they put that oil in there, and it would light up the whole place. And that oil in the New Testament, that kind of symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the oil. You have to have it. I mean, as we discussed offline, there was a parable of the 10 virgins, and it says that, I'm just going to paraphrase it, that
please, because I want to talk about what we talked about earlier, too.
Okay. And it said five of those virgins had oil in their lamps, and five of them didn't. And when the bridegroom, Christ, came and made the shout and said, come to the wedding feast, they all tried to come to him, but all of them couldn't go because five of them didn't have oil in their lamps. So thus, they couldn't turn them on and see, you know, where to go to get to Christ. So they asked the other five, can we borrow some of your oil? And they was like, no, we don't have enough oil for you and the both of us. So then Christ was like, well, why don't you go get some oil, go buy it from those who, you know, buy it, you know, who merchandise it. So the five foolish virgins went to go get some oil, and the other five that had oil went to meet Christ. And then when other people came back, they was like, hey, yo, what's up? Can we get in? And Christ was like, nah, it's too late.
Right.
So what that's saying is that goes back to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, showing that in order for the people who made it to Christ, they had to renew that oil every day. They had to keep a relationship with Christ every day, whether it's through prayer, meditation, reading. You have to do it, because if you don't, your oil runs out. And without your oil, without your personal relationship, without, you know, that daily communion and fellowship, you're not going to know God. You're not going to know anything about him. You're not going to know anything about Christ. So you're going to be in a state of where he doesn't know you. So that reflects back to the menorah that was in the tabernacle. And what's crazy about how intricate everything is, it was, you know, when you look at it, if you ever get a chance to go online and look at the picture, each one of those stems had, like, buds on it and different pieces of fruit. But if you count every last one of the ornaments that were on that menorah, it equaled up to 66 ornaments. And, you know, Hebrew scholars believe that that is a confirmation of the 66 books that we have in the Bible. So,
but can we dispute that because some of the books were taken out?
Well, like we said, we talked about before, yeah, some of the books were taken out, but to sit there and it didn't catch God by surprise. If we sit here and try to think that God was taken by surprise and, oh, my goodness, that he took books out that the people need, then he wouldn't be God and we'd be wasting our time on this conversation. So what the 66 books that we do have is more than enough to get you where you need to go. Now, you can always, you know, do studies in the Apocrypha and some of the lost books like the Didache and different books out there that you can read and kind of, you know, add to your study. But, I mean, most people don't even read the 66 that we have. So
this is true.
So I wouldn't discredit that.
I keep bringing our conversation back to, and this probably is a slight disconnect from what we're talking about. I want to talk about the issue of time. I really want to talk about that because I'm having a challenge with time, and I shared with you this morning when we were talking about this whole issue of time, about how I rush, I'm pressed, I want to get this done, I want to get that done, and you dropped the bomb on me when you were like, Sai, there is no such thing as time, and I don't get it. You know, I will argue vehemently until I get it because I'm only speaking from my point of reference. And I said to you that I've had conversations lately how everyone is telling me, Sai, you can't keep working where you think you're going to hurry up and beat time. But I'm saying I feel like I'm running out of time, and then everyone's saying to me time doesn't exist. But time does exist because this show starts every day at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So how do we balance the eternity myth of the spiritual realm versus the absolute based on the world?
Okay, well, actually, it's not a disconnect. Actually, it's a perfect point to switch gears because we're stopping right now at the menorah, which is the object in the tabernacle that gives off, illuminates light. So you're going to hold that thought about light, and then we're going to talk about time. In the context of time, you know, God laid out a pattern, not for himself, because he's God. He's everywhere, all of this, simultaneously. You know, time is not a dimension that he's concerned with or existing. It's something, it's a construct that was created for humans, for mankind to be able to exist, because we have a certain amount of days that we allow to live. And scientifically, based on the second law of thermodynamics, everything breaks down over the course of time. So because everything breaks down, whether it's inanimate objects or actual human beings, their bodies break down, man has, you know, crafted different ways to keep up with that time because they realize they only have a finite amount of time to get things done, whereas God spiritually is infinite. So God lays out this pattern of 6 days, 7 days, in which, you know, men are supposed to go out, work, subdue the earth, take dominion, and the seventh day you rest. Now, in the context of God, the reason why I say there's no time, if you think about it, people think, oh, my goodness, it's time. It's 12 o'clock in New York, and it's like 5 in the morning in London. But the reality is, outside of a man's mind, you know, the earth and all that stuff is not really keeping up with time. All it is, you have a planet that's spinning around. And if you take a little rubber ball in your own room or something, you look at that ball and spin it around in a circle, well, the ball doesn't change. All it does is change position. Time has nothing to do with that. And that's all the earth is doing, is rotating on its axis and changing position around the sun. So whether it's 12 o'clock here, The time really in the grand scheme of things is not relevant because all it is on this side of the earth we got light and on the other side of the earth they don't have light. But in reality, outside of the so-called construct of time, the time doesn't exist, if it makes sense. It's still, it's all the same. It's all relative. And then scientifically it's proven the faster that you go towards the speed of light, time ceases to exist. It slows down to nothing. So then it goes back to why Christ says he's the light. He's the light of the world. Why? Because to him, time is not relevant. He's moving so fast at the speed of light to where time doesn't matter. And he gives you these different clues that, just like the movie in The Matrix where, you know, Morpheus is trying to train Neo, that, hey, everything you see, it doesn't necessarily appear as it is. You can break protocols if you have the faith to believe and try this, and Neo would try this and do that. Well, that's the same way if you look at the Bible. It says in the Old Testament, Joshua was able to stop the earth from rotating on its axis, and while they were fighting a battle against one of these Amalekite-type people. There's so many different ites and kites, I don't know all the names. But he stopped the earth, and they would continue to battle until they got done, and then it continued to rotate. Christ walked on water. Well, you know, according to the laws of science, you're not supposed to be able to do that. But yet he did it and showed us that you can do it and allow one of his disciples to walk on water. So what does that tell me? He's trying to say, look, if you're able to get into a relationship with me, if you're able to get immerse yourself and study, there are each one of us have experienced miracles in our life that, you know, go against science, go against, you know, what you expect or what you think can happen. It goes against nature, but yet and still God allowed these different miracles or different events to take place. So that's why Christ says, you know, you can do all things in him. There are things that his true disciples and believers will be able to do, the quote-unquote greater work. So I just think we have been so limited by a matrix-type system that tries to say what can and can't happen based on the construct and science. But at the same time, science also states that, you know, it also proves the Bible, because at the same point, like I said, you know, the faster you go towards the speed of light, time stops. And I think it's no coincidence that Christ calls himself the light of the world. So he's giving a preview and a foreshadow of what we can become or where we can operate if we are able to operate in that level or degree of faith.
Well, I just want to hit you up with a couple things. Right now in the chat room, one of my dedicated listeners, Culture First, just was saying it starts because you started it. The Anglo-Saxon system of time is wrong. From the science magazine Discover, and he posted a link about the Einstein discovery of the fact that time may not exist. It's in the chat room, and I will post it up on my blog, but it's for those of you that are listening and don't see the chat room, grab a pen. I'm going to give it to you. It's www.discovermagazine.com/2007/JUN(June)-IN-NO-time. So it's discovermagazine.com/2007/JUN(N-NO-time). And I will post this in the chat room today, so that way everybody can follow up on it afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, but you think about it, it's true. I mean, what is time? It's a man-made measurement made to keep up with things they can't understand or things in nature or supernatural things. The earth, the moon, the stars, the universe, when it rotates and it goes through its progressions, it has nothing to do with time. It does what it does, whether time is telling them or keeping up with it or not. So it's When you take time out of the equation and you just look at the earth rotating around the sun, it's doing that without time. It has nothing to do with time. That's just something we use to deal with 120 years, a finite years that man possibly can live on this earth. And that's how we try to, you know, make everything, how we compartmentalize, how we can understand and exist in this earth. But that's why God, Christ says, you know, you don't worry about tomorrow. You don't get caught up in all, you know, what you didn't accomplish or, oh, my goodness, I got all this stuff to do. You got to be able to like we said earlier, is live a priest type lifestyle where you're totally reliant on God from day to day. You accomplish, I mean, I'm not saying time is irrelevant, but you don't become a slave to it. You accomplish those things that God sets before you each day. Yes, you do make plans and you do strategize because that's about being a good steward. But at the same time, things change. You know, spiritual things change, nature change. So you have to be dynamic. And being dynamic means you just can't be rigid and stuck in these systems that continue to be proven wrong over and over again. Just like they say, hey, you know, we got 9 planets. Then they come back this year and say, oh, no, we really don't have 9 planets. Pluto's not a planet. It's a moon. It's orbiting another celestial body, so we have 8 planets. So, you know, the facts are always constantly changing. So, therefore, you just have to be, you know, grounded in truth so that you don't get all, you know, carried away when facts could change based on discovery. And that's what this show is all about. You know, constant discovery and the revelation of truth, and then you able to, you know, adjust yourself towards that.
Well, I want to read to you some stuff that's jumping off in the chat room. I mean, oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh, God, I can't even begin to read all this stuff. You know what? Hold on. I'm sorry to sound so disconnected, but, all right, Yeshua is saying it's funny how one man changed the way everyone looks at physics and science. He was dyslexic, barely graduated from college. No one wanted to hire him, and that's when he wrote E equals MC squared. Culture First said, I recently went to the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Boulder, Colorado, says Lloyd. NIST is the government lab that houses the atomic clock that standardizes time for the nation. And so I guess that's just a bit of information. Dropping Seed said this is a very deep show, and he's going to need to listen to it over and over to wrap his head around it. I tried to tell y'all that this whole concept of time, hold on, wait, there's more stuff, I'm sorry. They told me our clocks do not measure time. I thought, wow, that's very humble of these guys because they said no time is defined to be what our clocks measure, which is true. They define time. They define the time standards for the globe. Time is defined by the number of clicks on their clocks. We tell ourselves black people can't be on time, but we really are on time because time is defined by you. True is saying, hang in there, Cy. I know it was a late night last night. Yeah, it was because I told everybody yesterday I was going to be out late. So. But this is something that's on my mind. It's something that's on my heart. One thing I'll tell you, I remember when I was working with KRS-One, I remember it was a conversation between he, his wife, and I. And I remember his wife saying to him something to the effect of, and this is not a quote, it's just my recollection of our conversation, that she was saying how people think that he is hypocritical and he is that he is inconsistent. And he said back to her, I was an observer in the conversation, he said back to her, I am extremely consistent in what I do, not what they want me to do. And at the time, I looked at him like, this guy is really bananas, because people call him inconsistent, hypocritical, but he was saying how based on his opinion, based on his discovery, based on who he is as a person, he's extremely consistent. But when you change the dynamics in which you measure him, then he becomes perceived or is accused as being inconsistent, hypocritical, never on time, you know, always going back on his word. So now imagine, this is something that I didn't even realize God was trying to deal with me on 8 years ago or 7 years ago or 6 years ago, however many, 5 years ago, however many years ago it was. And do you see how now this is a comment that he made so many years ago is finally starting to make sense? And I think that's what's beautiful about the revelation of discovery, as DeJuan put it, because right now it's starting to make a little more sense to me. This is something that I personally, I don't know if you guys want me to bring this back on another show, if this is too heavy for us to talk about at 12 o'clock, maybe we do something at night when everybody's at home. You let me know, because this is something that I personally have to get a little bit more information about. I really want to know, because this time thing does not make sense to me. And it, maybe it sounds like I'm babbling, and I'm not sure, but I really want to get it, because what is being said to me now, or what's being revealed to me now, is the basis of how we've governed our lives according to the clock isn't real. This goes way beyond perception as reality, smoke and mirrors. You know, I told everybody, working in the entertainment industry, everything is smoke and mirrors. Nothing you see is real. It's all fabricated. Okay, I can deal with that. All right? I can even deal with pastors driving super nice cars to live up to the image that they feel they have to hold on to or put out to the public. I can even live with that. But now I'm getting a double whammy that's saying, Saida, it's very good that you're on this track. Okay, you now understand a lot of things in life is smoke and mirrors. A lot of things is perception is reality. But now, here, take that. Number three, there is no such thing as time. That's a lot of stuff for somebody to digest. And maybe I'm just ranting right now, but this is a big, big thing for me to try to get. Is anybody else with me, or am I on this island alone?
Oh, no. I mean, but it is reflective of this society as a whole, just like they have a very vague, subjective standard for you to be president of the United States. You got to be an American citizen, 35 years old, et cetera, et cetera. But they create this incredible criteria for someone like an African-American presidential nominee. But then at the same time, they contradict that smoke and mirrors and bring somebody else to be vice president, you know, from a state like Alaska, who's doesn't have the same criteria. The bar moves, is dynamic, it moves down. So nothing that you thought was real, that you needed to be quote unquote as president, oh, that changes now, because it could be whatever it is we say it would be based on the moment or the situation. That's just the world that we live in. Even in the Bible, it says that the Antichrist comes and seeks to change weights and measurements. So it's a system of people changing things that we use for measurements, whether it's time or what have you. People are always manipulating things for their own gain, their own benefit. I.e., example, the stock market crisis, the housing market crisis. Everything that has been, you know, put out there as a sure bet, or you could, you know, you can bet your life on it, Social Security, 401Ks, all these things are mostly manipulations and fabrications. So at the end of the day, you know, the Bible always says don't put your trust in temporal things. Don't get so concerned about laying all the treasures up and things that can be eaten by moth and rust and decay. I mean, it's cool if you can ascertain some of these things in life, but you can't get caught up in it, because it's all based on the whims and manipulations of the people that are in control for the moment.
Yeah, but that really sucks, because what's happening is we're all, I mean, I consider myself relatively smart. You know, I study, I read, I'm on my grind. I want to be an aware and an attuned with what's going on around me. But damn, how many levels deep is this thing really going to go? And
it's,
I hope
the Matrix.
You know, G, I'm a, you know what? You're my buddy, but this is really taking it to the head. And everybody, let me share something with you, why this is becoming so important to me. I am not a big reader of, matter of fact, I don't read horoscopes. It's just not something that I do. I don't want to get into a situation of astrology, a conversation of astrology, because that's not what it's about. But I do want to say that someone sent me for October a little thing from astrologer that said, Saida, it just says, you have more time than you think. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I let it go. That was October 1st. Then all of a sudden I had to go. You guys all know I had to go out. Oh, wait a minute. All right, I see you want to call in. Hold on, I'll pick you up in a second. Last night I was rushing to get out the door. My husband was driving me, and he said, Saida, you know you're always pushing yourself to the edge, pushing yourself on time. And then Dewan and I talked this morning, and the same issue of time keeps coming up in my life, and it's frustrating because it seems like it's never going to go away. So that's why it's important. I'm going to pick up on caller 347. Everybody, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Listen very closely. I have to bring in Dr. Julianne Malveaux at 12:45. She's going to be with me from 12:45 to like 12:55. She is the president of Bennett College. But what I did do, for those of you who can continue on listening, just in case Dewan has a little bit more time to spend with us so we can wrap this up and get our final thoughts once Dr. Malveaux gets off the air, I did extend the time of today's show for another 30 minutes. I don't think we're going to go for another 30 minutes, but we will not automatically get cut off at 1 o'clock. 347, you're on. It's Cy. What's going on? We got 3 minutes before I got to call Dr. Malveaux.
Hey, Cy. This is Culture First. I just wanted to say that the article I posted from Discovery Magazine is really deep of talking about the concepts and constraints of time. And one of the things they talk about is what Isaac Newton believes, which is absolute, true, mathematical time from its own nature without regard to anything external. But Einstein proved that time is part of the fabric of the universe. And we get into what the brother was talking about, which is quantum physics, belief that and understanding that there is always a negative and there's always a positive. Since you have to have both, they both have to exist. And so understanding that, the average person will say what I just said. They don't understand something when it really should be the word should be we overstand. And so this whole concept of what we currently define things as in this country particularly, but across the world now, is controlled by people that want to make sure they control you versus, as KRS-One brought out in his book, Reclamations, it's not about control. It's about being independent and you establish for yourself what it is that you are defining yourself as. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't have access to the basic concepts that the physical and metaphysical laws are based on, which are scientific and they've been proven over and over again. You have to have a positive, you have to have a negative. There's always a could be and there's always a could not be. And so since that is definitive that way, you can't say something is. If you're at 12 o'clock, you're late. No, maybe I wasn't late. Maybe I need to meet this person that I ran into and give them a spiritual word. Maybe they need to give me a spiritual word. Late is defined by myself and or if I submit myself to another person saying, you're allowed to define for me what time should be.
Right, but we also have to remember that we're working in a society governs time. So I agree. I feel when I get there, that's the time I was supposed to be there, because a lot of times I get caught up with something and realize there's a blessing in it, but now my schedule is thrown off, in my opinion, because how do we not operate within the constraints of time that we have in the physical world?
We just don't. It's just that simple. See, that's the beauty of the thing. You just don't. You establish for yourself, and it's the hardest thing to let go, because we're trained from day one that we have to be this way and we have to be that way. If our hair is not this way, if our clothes aren't that, if we don't speak a certain way, if we don't have a degree, we're constantly, basically, like the brother's talking about, matrixized. We're constantly put into this planet of we have to do what society tells us we have to do versus what God tells us what we have to do.
Wow. Well, hold that thought. I mean, I hope everybody can stay with me just a smidgen after clock. D, I know you have things to do. I'm gonna put everybody on hold. Maybe you guys can carry this conversation on for a second, because I'm going to go offline just for a second to bring in Dr. Malveaux. So just give me a second, everybody.
Yo.
Office of the President, this is Zitty speaking.
Yes, hi, this is Saida Brown from Life Remixed Radio. I have an interview today with Dr. Julianne Malvo.
Okay, Ms. Brown, if you don't mind holding for just a moment, I'll get her on the line with you, okay?
Can everybody hear me? Can somebody hit me up in the chat room?
Yeah.
Juwan, are you there? Okay. This is, oh my gosh, you know, this is, y'all are hearing me live and in living color running this show. So I'm sure she will be joining us in a moment. It's nice to call the office of the president and have your call taken and not put on hold. Oh, some interesting stuff that just was put up in the chat room. Just tell people that I will reach out to you today instead of giving a specific time. And that's something I guess I have to learn better. That's interesting.
Ms. Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on just a moment. Let me transfer you, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess it's a good thing I extended the show today, everybody. This is a good thing. There's a lot of activity in the chat room. Wow. Dropping to your big shot. No, I don't think so. I'm just a nosy gal who wants to talk to people that can give us all some knowledge and wisdom. I think I'm far from a big shot. I think inquisitive is probably a little bit better. Just some of the stuff that's being said in the chat room for everybody listening. We're talking.
Hello.
With, yes, ma'am.
This is Julianne Malvo.
Hi, Dr. Malvo. How are you? My name is Saida Brown, and I'm calling from Life Remixed Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, tell me where you are.
I'm in New York.
Okay, great.
We actually have all of my listeners in our chat room on the line right now. So, everybody, we were waiting and anticipating for you to join us today. I just want to, if you could be so kind as to share with my listeners briefly who you are, and I just have two very short questions for you.
Sure. I am the 15th president of Bennett College for Women. It's one of two historically black colleges and universities that focuses on African-American women. We're located in Greensboro, North Carolina. We're a small liberal arts college. We have an enrollment of about 680 students, and it's an exciting place. I've been here about 15 months before coming here. I was a businesswoman. I own a company called Last Word Productions. In addition, I have been... I'm an economist by training. My doctorate is from MIT, and I've been a radio and television pundit as well as a columnist. I still write for the National Newspaper Publishers Association.
Well, I'm so happy that you're with us, and I know with your economic background, one of the things that I mentioned in my inquiry and my request to interview you is that we're in very uncertain times right now, and I'm sure a lot of the students that attend, all of the women that attend Bennett College, are uncertain because of globalization, because of technology, because of the economy. I was just hoping you can share with my listeners a little bit about what you would suggest we can do. How do we maneuver through these tough times?
Well, this represents a wake-up call for all of us, I think. It's a wake-up call about the fiscal frailty that our country has been in and what we can do about this fiscal frailty. Each woman, each person is really required at this point to look at her own financial situation and to put it on solid ground. In other words, if you are uncertain, start looking at what you spend your money on and how you might change things. I think that in terms of investment, you want to be very careful. In the market is very volatile. If you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't save, but it means that you should save and invest in safer instruments. For people who are of modest incomes, I would say that, you know, if not a money market fund, a simple savings instrument that will yield you 3 to 5% is what you're looking for. But the bottom line is that you're to be careful and you're also to assess.
Okay. That's great advice. So now here we are as a young generation. I'm 37 years old, and most of my listeners, they sway and range 10 years younger to 10 years older. How do we move forward, just barring the economics, just mentally, how do we move forward? Because it hasn't been as devastating. It hasn't made such a devastating impact on my family. We've scaled back. You know, I shared with my listeners, my husband and I and my 14-year-old, we have coupon-cutting parties on Sundays now. It's not to denigrate people that have used coupons all the time, but we just haven't, so that's new for us. But even with that, just the emotions that go on in our minds right now, how would you suggest or what would you recommend? How do we move forward from that?
Well, you know, black people have always faced tough economic times. I mean, how much tougher could it have been for us than the slave experience, the post-slavery experience where we had no assets and we had to build them ourselves? When we look at the Great Depression, I mean, we were the last ones to have the opportunity to participate in federal government programs. We were not the ones who the Work Progress Administration focused on initially. So we've seen hard times before. And I want everybody to remember that. Don't trip. We've seen hard times before. Well, so what we're looking at is how do we begin to deal with the fundamentals. If you're clipping coupons for the first time, you know, with all due respect, my sister, unless you were very wealthy, you might have been thinking about clipping coupons all along. You know, with all due respect, because none of us has money to throw away. So, again, what I'm saying is that we need to be more intentional about our money. Now, if you are unemployed and the wolf is coming and the foreclosures are happening, that's very different than just saying that you're pinched. So I want people to celebrate what they have and to be realistic about what they do not have and what it means. Does it mean that you're not going to get to go on vacation this year? Okay, that's not the end of the world. Does it mean that you don't get a new dress? Hey, you have a whole lot of dress. But if it means that you are at the very bottom and you don't know where you're going to go, then this is a time to reach out. And there are lots of things out there for people. There are lots of opportunities. There's a lot of help out there right now. So this is a really great time to have challenges because there's help.
Well, I totally agree. And I think how it's just impacted me and just the people within my sphere of influence is it's definitely been a reality check. You know, my parents, okay, if you go to college, you get your degree, you get a job, you get your 2 weeks vacation, and you'll do well, that's what I was taught, that's what I live by. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. My friends that have degrees may not be able to get a job. There's student loans. So I just think it's been we just have to look at it from a different perspective to navigate through this. But I think what you said was so poignant when you said black people have always faced tough economic times. There's a guy at my husband's job. My husband takes lunch now every day, and a guy at his job says, I'm not doing that. You know, I still have to have my steak. And I chuckle because every day my husband comes home from work, I tell him, is Kevin still eating steak or has he moved to chicken yet? So I think it's just adjustments for everybody. So I'm just so happy that you were able to join us on the air today. Would you like to leave us with any final thoughts, please?
Absolutely. Do not let these times define you. You can define these times. The question is not what happens to you. It's about how you react to what happens to you. And so when we look at these times, and these are extraordinarily challenging times, I love your story about the chicken and steak. We haven't always had steak. We haven't always had chicken. Sometimes we brought bean sandwiches to work. And so the question is, it's not what you have. It's who you are and whose you are. We can get through these times if we remember core values. And I'm counting on you, my sister, and your listeners to remember those core values and to lift our people up.
Thank you so much. Everybody, you've just heard the words from Dr. Juliette Malveaux. Thank you so much for the entire Life Remix Radio family for joining us. And I will send a thank you note to you, to your office. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
God bless. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wowzers, everybody. I see some stuff jumping off in the chat room. Let me know what you thought. Dee, are you there?
Yeah, I think it goes back to our conversation of time and things happening the way they're supposed to happen. First of all, you know, as your caller called in and, you know, tried to define, you know, say the different things that people try to tell you you should do. The whole thing that we are involved in right now is that it's funny to me that economists and people that are manipulating the system are trying to scare people and tell people this is a bad time. But the reality is, I mean, I looked at my situation. I was like, I don't have $100,000 in the stock market. I mean, it is what it is. This doesn't really affect me like that. And the reality is that while they're telling you it's the worst economic time and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't buy that and you shouldn't go out and explore this, this is when people get rich. This is when people buy stuff. Right after the Great Depression is when all your major corporations you have today came in and bought up this and bought up that, took advantage of this. You had J.P. Morgan take over WaMu and bought it for like $1.7 billion and they got assets of like $184 billion. So look how much money they stand to gain. While the system is telling you it's this horrible, they're going around behind the scenes making it happen. I mean, myself, you know, I was fortunate enough, I went to Disney World last week. I didn't really care about what was going on because I looked at my situation like, I'm not going to let this situation define me and my family like that. I mean, when everybody's telling you to go buy gold or go buy real estate or invest in foreign currencies, that's not the time really you should do it because there's a reason why they're telling you to do it. People never tell you to do something, you know, good most of the time. When they found gold back in the 1800s out on the West Coast, they weren't telling everybody, hey, we found gold and we're finding oil. They went out and found it, you know, they extracted it, they got their money out of it, and then they told everybody else. So you got to sometimes look at, you know, the world and what, you know, the masses and the media and the institutions are telling you, and then flip it around and see why they're telling you. And then, like, you know, Dr. Malvo said, you have to look and define how you're going to take advantage of it. When I think about the world trying to define you, I was in a top 10 business program a couple of months ago, and I'd been in it for about a year and a half, and I was like, I'm spending all this money, tuition almost $20,000 a term, and I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm doing it because I want to be, I don't know, important or validate my intelligence or what have you, but it goes back to your caller when he said you have to do whatever God is telling you to do at that particular moment. And at that particular moment, you know, God was like, you don't really need to do all this right now. This is not, should not be your focus, trying to, you know, put all your energy, effort, and money into this business program, even though, you know, it's a top 10 school and it's all of that, whatever. But you have to do whatever is good for you and whatever is going to define you and whatever moves you have to make at that particular time, and it'll work itself out. And then I had to remember most of the corporations that we were studying in business school were founded by people who didn't even have a business degrees, who dropped out of school. So it's basically smoke and mirrors. It just depends on how you want to look at it and how you want to define yourself by it.
Well, you know, I said that to my husband. I was always pressed to get an MBA, I have to get a degree, I have to do this, because, and I tell y'all all the time, my parents stress education, they stress you get your vacation and your job and this and that, and then I looked at all my friends that had advanced degrees, and here I am running my own business, not making tons of money, but doing what I have to do, and they're coming to me like, yo, Sai, you know, can I freelance? I'm like, wait a minute, you've got degrees and papers and this and that, and you're coming to me? Then I've got friends that have student loans. Matter of fact, let me just toss this back to where I was last night. Y'all know last night I was at the Post. They interviewed this lady. She was a registered independent. She's a doctor. She says she's very angry with Obama because all he's offering is a tax credit of $4,000 for college students. And she's like, you know what, I can't afford that. You know, she said, I have student loans that I can't even afford to pay right now. And this lady is a doctor. She's somebody that went to school to be a doctor. And it's sad because when you really look at it, to me it seems like the educational system is a hustle too. And this is not to disrespect anybody that's going to college or continuing their education.
Oh, I mean, you're right. Like I said, I was in this program, top program. But at the end of the day, when I sat down and talked to people,
talk to the dean, things of that nature. It's all about what are you going to try to get out of the situation, because they're trying to get as much money as they can out of people, you know, to further their prestige and whatever they're doing. So you got to have a game plan, you know, how you're going to use it, whether you're going to go work for somebody in corporate America or enhance your own entrepreneur skills. But it is what it is. It's everything in life is a positive and a negative. Somebody's trying to manipulate something, you extract something, and you just have to understand what side of the table you're going to be on and kind of govern yourself accordingly. And that's the same way, unfortunately, where this conversation started in regards to the concept of church. It's become a situation to where, unfortunately, most people are trying to become mega ministries, mega churches, and get as many people as they can, get as many people on the tithing rolls as they can, so that they can leverage those people and those relationships and that money, so they can get other relationships, other business deals, other situations. And it's a constant situation of leveraging people, leveraging other people and their assets to further their own causes. And, you know, when I found that out, I just had to be real with myself and be like, okay, whatever I do, whether it's going to a congregation or, you know, going to school or working here or doing this particular business or what have you, I just have to look at it, as she said, what are the core values I'm going to bring to it? What's the most important thing that I'm going to do with this? So even if when I die and pass on or what have you, it was about something. Because at the end of the day, when we think about this whole concept of time, a lot of famous people have passed away in the last year and a half, from Luther Vandross, you know, James Brown, Bernie Mac. All these people were, like, really big people, and they kind of define time because, like the brother said, you know, as the more powerful you are, the more you can define time. People adjust their time around your time when you have enough money and have enough power, you just show up whenever you want to. Things adjust to you. But when these famous people pass and when they die, everything keeps going. Nothing stops. R&B keeps going. People keep making songs. They don't, like, stop making music because Luther Vandross is gone. Another TV show replaces the Bernie Mac show. So at the end of the day, you got to get back to what is important to you. What is your core values? What is more important, your relationship with Christ and your family? Because whatever it is you're doing, whether you're getting multiple degrees or building your business or trying to keep up with your next door neighbors and all that stuff, don't matter who you are, when you pass on, regardless of how famous you are, people forget about you and your accomplishments and people forget about you unless you're Tupac. Nobody forgets about Tupac. He just keeps...
It's
a gift that keeps on giving. But for the most part, the world doesn't stop. Everything keeps going. So you got to make – I don't say the phrase anymore, life is short, because that – when I say that, I'm constraining myself. I'm speaking that I'm constrained to time. So I don't say life is short. I say maximize the moments that you have. So you got to try to just look at whatever the life that you've given, the blessings that you've given for that particular day. You maximize them, and your time wouldn't seem to be so desperate if you're able to, you know, extract all those people or situations that pull from you, that take from you. As someone said, the best addition a lot of times is subtraction. Sometimes we got to subtract those people and situations that take up all of our time, that we, you know, we have more time or space to be able to focus on the things that we need to focus on so we can accomplish those things we need to accomplish for that particular day.
Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff is going on in the chat room. You know, too much to read. What I've been doing these last couple shows, everybody, and we're going to have to wind down shortly because I'm sure we all have to get some work done. But, Dewan, I want to put your blog up. It's www.ekklesiatl.blogspot.com.
Yes, that's correct. That's where you can go to get a lot of the information that I've talked about in regards to, you know, church, origin of church, tabernacle, things of that nature. It's all on ecclesiablogspot.com. Well, ecclesiaatl.blogspot.com.
I got that. ecklesiaatl.blogspot.com. Yeah, I posted that in the chat room. Biomed had to go, but she said that you're very smart. It bounced out of the chat room, but she said that you're very smart, and thank you for sharing the information with us. I wanted to get her your blog information before she had to go. She usually takes her daughter around 1 o'clock and logs off. I'll also get in touch, everybody, with Tiff. I see she's not here with us today, too, and this is perfect for her because she's a studier of time and stuff like that. I want to point one thing out, too. Everybody had a challenge logging into the chat room today, and True said, I think it was True who was like, yo, how come every time we have a Bible study, we have a difficult time getting into the show, logging into the show? I don't know. I can't answer that one. We'll all have to just draw our own conclusion. But on the same note of that, I had a very difficult time starting today's show. Dee, are you coming back with us next week?
Yeah.
Before we go, I just have to say, Dewan is a friend, and he has such a dry sense of humor. He'll go into this really serious dissertation, and then he'll start talking about Tupac. Or, you know, I'm like, okay, D, are you with, you know, you coming back? He's like, yeah. So as you all get to learn him, you'll just enjoy him just as much as I do every time we speak on the phone. True, thank you. It says big ups on the interview, albeit very short. I was lucky to get it in. They told me they could spare 10 or 15 minutes. I took what I could get. Now I feel crappy for saying that I haven't been cutting coupons for the last 20 years, but I haven't. But I do now, so we can only move on from where we are right now. So on that note, everybody, I want to say thank you. I did extend the show so it didn't cut off exactly at 1 o'clock. Do you have any final thoughts for us before I just say our closing prayer?
I know something we've been talking about behind the scenes, but, I mean, I look forward in November that we're going to try to start this, restart it back up, a weekly Bible study where just people can come on to Blog Talk Radio on a Sunday or what have you and deal with different issues or different points or different perspectives or doctrines that they may need to get clarification on. So that's something that's coming, that's in the work, that we're going to be trying to jump off here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, you all know I will keep you posted to anything that goes on. I just want to say thank you to everybody who listens. You know, I really, really, really appreciate it. So thank you. We've got a great show for tomorrow, and I ask that you join me back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And just remember that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thank you so very much, Dee. Thank you so much for joining me again. You don't know how much that means to me and to my listeners because they tell me when we get off the phone. but I'll talk to you soon. And, everybody, I'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon. Peace.
I'll look.